Jesus is King.
Love talk
and
radio.
He's mine. Let me hear you. Where my Eden citizens at? Where my Eden citizens at? Where you at? Let me see if you can like this. Here we go.
We're God's amen. He made a feeling. It was his plan that we deflect. The tempter came. We were distracted. The tempter came. And we fell. We were deemed to live a life that is long. A life that's full. A life that's bitter.
Hallelujah. That's what we've been called to do, to live on top of the world. It's time for us to get back to Eden. Time for us to get back to the things of God. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, to all my brothers and sisters, and those that are faithful in Christ. I count it all but joy. Matter of fact, kind of joy, too, that we're able to speak the word and fellowship with one another at noon. Meanwhile, we're going to ask Evangelist Renee if she's available, if she'll give us a word of prayer today. Evangelist Renee. Are you hearing
okay,
me, Pastor?
I'm hearing you, Pastor. I'm here, Pastor.
Okay.
First, giving honor to God, head of my life, Pastor Beasley, Pastor Bale, Evangelist Ursula, all the listeners. Shall we bow our heads? Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, dear Lord, this afternoon to give you thanks. Thank you, dear Lord, for your grace and your mercy, because you didn't have to wake us up, start us on our way. But you did, and we want to take the time out to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you for the use of our limbs, dear Lord. Thank you for all your blessings. I can't say that enough because of you, dear Lord. You allow us
all right
to live every all day,
right,
to breathe every day, to walk every day, to talk every day. We don't have to be able to do these things because of your grace and your mercy, dear Lord. And we want to take the time out to say thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we ask that you will bless all your people, wherever we are, just bless us. Keep us from danger seen and unseen. And, dear Lord, we know you are healing. We thank you in advance for your healing powers. Just, dear Lord, Pastor don't know. Asking me to pray, we'd be here to 12:30. Because I got so much to be thankful for. You're just the mighty good God. What an awesome God we serve. Thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. And dear Lord, I ask that you will let our ears be open and we will be able to receive this word that is being sent through Pastor Beasley, Pastor Bell, Evangelist Ursula. I ask that you will just bless them for taking time out day to share the word with us. And we just thank you in advance. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate that, Evangelist Renee. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, we're talking about blind to God's true grace. Blind to God's true grace. See, there's a lot of grace out there, but it's not true. God's grace is true. It's a different kind of grace. Paul didn't understand it, so God had to tell him when he came that morning and he prayed and he wanted the thorn to pass by him, that be removed out of his flesh. And God told him, I heard you this morning, and I heard you at noon. You know, sometimes we pray and we're going like, okay, Lord, why you ain't talking to me? Something got to be going on here. But I know you're like that, so what's really going on?
Mm-hmm.
God told Paul, I heard you this morning, I heard you at noon, and I hear you now. And then he spoke these words to him and told him, but my grace is sufficient. It's a sufficient grace, and it's adequate. Whatever you need at the time and at the moment, God got some grace for that. I know y'all ain't talking to me this morning, but I want you to know that whatever you're going through, God got grace for that. Mm-hmm. Wherever you need to meet him at, he got grace for that.
Amen.
Yeah, yes. He got grace for you. So it ain't nothing like God's grace. And I understand the word, but his grace will minister to your heart at that time. And yesterday we were talking about great grace. See, that's where I came up with that. Because if it's great, it's more than just regular grace. It's great.
Amen.
Means it's big time stuff, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And let me tell you what. He gave us his glory. But he gave us his glory through his grace.
Amen.
But we'll get into that. But first we want to unpack our foundational scripture a little bit. I'm going to ask Evangelist William, you should be so kind to read St. John 1, verses 14 through 17.
So one moment. St. John 1, 14 through 17. St. John 1, 14 through 17. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He then cometh after me as preferred before me. For he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came from by Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good
afternoon. Reading from the Message Bible, beginning with verse 13. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous in and out. True from start to finish. John pointed him out and called, "This is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me, has always had the first word. We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses and then this exuberant giving and this endless knowing and understanding. All this came through Jesus, the Messiah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. There had been some debate about Jesus being born, but it was a supernatural. It was his deity. And all of those things need to be shot down because that's incorrect. Jesus Christ was made flesh. The Word of God was made flesh. Not spirit, not man, not God, and nothing heavenly. And it's important that you understand it. This made him God's son for sonship in connection with Jesus Christ. Always refer to the humanity and never the deity. I heard a preacher talking the other day, and he began to explain the spiritual side. No, first you got to understand Jesus was actually made flesh. I got some receipts for you. I got some paper. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, I want y'all to see this. Because, see, this is going to be so plain to you, especially when you understand it from the New Testament and the Old Testament. This is what God had prophesied through the book of Isaiah. But in Isaiah, now I want y'all to hear this clearly now. And then I said it's right there in the Word of God. In Isaiah 7 and 14, how that read, Evangelist William?
Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen.
Amen. excuse me. So Isaiah told them, So Isaiah told him, then listen to this government of David. It's bad enough that you make people tired with your pious, timid hypocrisies, but now you're making God tired. So the master is going to give you a sign. Anyway, watch for this. A girl who is presently a virgin will get pregnant. She'll bear a son and name him Emmanuel, God with us. By the time the child is... Okay, nope, that's going to the next verse. I'm sorry. So let me start here. A girl who is presently a virgin will get pregnant. She'll bear a son and name him Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let me connect the dots right quickly. God said a virgin. Now, we all know what a virgin is. So right off, that ought to just blow your mind. How you going to have a virgin going to have a baby? Because we're so accustomed to a man and a woman hooking up. And, you know, I don't know who all on here, but anyway. But they hook up, and y'all know how babies are made. Now, how that's going to happen without that hookup? That's all I'm trying to say. So God told him that this is going to be a sign so you'll know that the child is made flesh. So he said this. The angel said to Mary, God found favor in you. See, God found grace was favor. She was yet human and said to her, said, God found favor in you, found some grace in you. So see, it's from grace to grace. So when you start operating in grace, God's going to give you grace. So he said, the angel said, God wants you to have a child. He said, well, how that's going to be, I don't know no man. Because that was normal, just like it'd be normal today. It's real, people. So the angel said unto her, God want this, and he found favor. And he said, been prophesied. Well, see, if you know anything about Mary, you knew that she had been preparing herself for this, like a lot of other girls had prepared themselves to because they believed in that. They believed that God was going to have a child in here, and it was going to be through a virgin because it had been prophesied. So it was no problem for Mary. So here's what Mary said. I'm going to connect the dots. Now, the angel gave Mary the word. It had already been spoken in the word. So Mary says this, be it unto me according to thy word. And the Holy Ghost shattered her. That's what the Bible said. Shattered her. Now, I can give you all kinds of scriptures, but I want to make a point so we can get on. And the point is, see, that from the word became the word. Just like with us, we got to be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. See, God got all his whole family connected through the word. So he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And here in this 14th verse it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. Boy, if you could just see the miracle in that, if you could just see the grace in that, see, true grace, God looked beyond all of those things and said, you know what, I'm going to put my spirit in you. I know what you done did. It doesn't matter. I've forgiven you. See? So where sin abound, grace much more abound. So don't let nobody tell you that sin is bigger than God's grace. Now, I know sometimes we want to think fleshly, and see, we haven't really understood that word grace. But what it really means in the Greek, and I gave it to you yesterday, but what it really means is this. It means that I want to do something for you, and you don't have to pay me back. I just want to do it because I know you need it, and you can't afford it. So I want to do it for you. You can't get yourself out of jail because you don't have the funds, you don't have resources, you don't know. So I'm just going to do this, and you don't have to pay me back.
Hallelujah.
I ain't looking for nothing back. See, that's the kind of grace we're talking about here. So over there in the book of Acts, when they laid everything at the apostles' feet, they weren't looking for nothing back. They weren't complaining about who gave this and who gave that. I brought two chicken dinners and I brought one potato salad. No, they weren't going through that. Whatever they had, boom, they laid it at the apostles' feet. No, I don't want nobody laying nothing at my feet. Let me be clear. I'm just trying to show you how that great grace worked. Grace works like this, brothers and sisters. Feed from grace to grace. And that's what we're going to deal with. That's one of the things that we're going to be dealing with. God's great grace. So, and understanding how important this God's grace is, even today. I told you, the last thing the body of Christ is riding on is grace. And you can see that over there in the book of Revelation. But however, it's important, biblical, understanding the biblical term, unmerited favor, divine favor, a favor freely bestowed upon those totally unable to return the favor. See, when you understand this word like that, grace is God's free action.
Amen.
You know, it ain't like I'm doing it and then you got to do for me. It don't work like that. See, that's the kind of stuff Satan want people to believe in. That's the kind of grace he want us to have. Well, I did it. I did it for you, Evangelist Renee, and you ought to do it for me this year. I did it for you last year, Pastor. Seems like you should just be the right thing and do it for me this year. See, that old kind of garbage. No, baby, that ain't the kind of grace we talking about.
Right.
What I'm going to do for you, I'm not looking for you to ever pay me back. I'm not looking for anything in return. This is the kind of grace that God displayed.
Yeah.
I hope this makes sense.
Yeah.
It's God's free action. And in behalf of those who are without merit, grace demonstrates the goodness of God. That's why I said the church have just assumed that everything they got from the pulpit was right. No. God said, no, you have to get deeper than that. Because I am grace. I am grace.
Yeah.
So when you understand that, and understand the goodness of God, it goodness is following you right now. God's grace is on your trail right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I got some paper now, you know. Psalms 23:6 is right there. Go and read why I find this other scripture, if you will.
Psalms 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, amen.
Send the message, Bible. Excuse me. Your beauty and love chased after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank
you.
So
God's wrath ain't chasing you.
Say that.
You know, some people, they live on love. Well, I tell you, every time I look around, it just get harder and harder. Now I can't catch a break. The people, they got all these bad confessions and never understand God's grace is right there trying to run you over.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
His kindness is trying to run you over. See, these are words that's in grace. This is what support grace, this kind of action. It's wonderful, man. It's a wonderful grace to know that if something happens. Isn't it beautiful to know that you got somebody you can call on? Hey, I can run over here and get $5,000 from Evangelist Sharon. I know I can just call her. I get $5,000 immediately. Without any question asked. Isn't that good to know you got somebody in your corner that, hey, if I need somebody to come over here and cook for me because I'm unable to cook, I got somebody to do it. Ain't. But isn't that relaxing to know? Isn't it awesome to know?
Yes, amen.
Hey, Walk, you got somebody to push you around. Isn't it beautiful to know that if you got without transportation, I can call Sister Williams, Evangelist Williams, say, Evangelist, I need you to come and pick me up and take me to the grocery store, but I don't have no money to pay you. Oh, Pastor, give me about 10 minutes. I'm on my way. Isn't that good to know you got people? Well, that's what the grace of God does, brother and sister. It's following us. You know the Bible says you have not because you ask not.
Amen, amen.
You got everything at your disposal when you have grace. But it's important that we understand how grace is demonstrated, his goodness toward those who deserve his wrath, but chose. See, it would be one thing to do good to those that do good, but no, God gives his grace toward those that deserve to go to the electric chair.
Amen.
I just gonna freak y'all out. God have to show Donald Trump grace. If that bothers you, he does.
Mm-hmm.
He have to show everybody. God doesn't have no respect of person. And I don't care what you dislike about your friend or whatever. God gotta show him grace.
Amen.
There's a lot of people right now don't understand what God is doing for you. It's just his grace. Well, why don't she pray? Why she got this? Why she going through this? It's God's grace.
Yeah.
It's his unmerited favor. You can't pray enough for this. Don't let folks try to say, well, you know, I pray and then there's that. No. It's God's grace. It's unmerited. His favor, you didn't do anything for. That's the kind of grace I'm talking about. I ain't talking about all this stuff. You trying to hustle God. Because you can't hustle him anyway.
Yeah. Amen.
But on the mere fact that we deserve the electric chair, Christ went and jumped in it for us. How about that? Huh?
Amen.
He went and jumped in that chair for you.
Thank
and
you.
On the basis of his substitutionary death to my Christ, God's grace provides a way for God to offer the free gift of eternal life to those that are guilty.
Amen.
Yeah.
See, the punishment we deserve, grace said, I'll take it.
Yes.
Grace moved all of that. I like to think about grace being a remover, being a big boy, being a big brother, being somebody that's able to take the punishment.
Yeah. Amen.
He went and snatched salvation and said, you know, y'all can have this. Jesus died for it. So the scripture meaning of grace is important because it really means gracious. And I'm going to show y'all this. In Luke 4:22, let's read that.
One moment, please.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 4:22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, it's not this Joseph's son. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, all who were there watching and listening were surprised at how well he spoke. But they all, isn't this Joseph's son, the one we've known since he was a youngster? Amen.
Amen.
Did I lose you, Pastor?
I'm here, Pastor. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Luke 4:22. All who
yes.
were there. Okay. All who were there, watching and listening, were surprised at how well he spoke. But they also said, isn't this Joseph's son, the one we've known since he was a youngster? Amen.
Amen.
See, this scripture's like this that people don't understand. God had to fulfill all of that he had promised. So when Jesus went up in the synagogue, it was to fulfill the promise. So when
Amen.
He took the book, Jesus took the book and began to read. Now this scripture that he read was from Isaiah. And and he began to read it. And the people were so amazed. They said, wait a minute, that scripture ain't for you. That scripture there is for the Messiah. So whenever the Messiah come, we'll all know it because God had gave us his sign. That when the Messiah come, this is going to be the scripture that he's going to read. Nobody else was allowed to read this scripture. We're going to back up a little bit. Let me get into this for my mom. Because you got to understand what was really happening here. Over here in the book of Luke, and this is not the only place, but what Jesus did was so amazing. People still missing it. He wasn't in there to have church. No. Jesus, first of all, you got to understand, he was full of the Holy Ghost. He had gotten through dealing with the devil, okay?
Yes.
And
yes.
After he had battle with the devil, I'm trying to speed it up. After he told Satan to get behind him, for it is written, thou shalt worship no other God before him. See, now he was not in the temple, brothers and sisters. Understand that. He wasn't in the temple.
Yeah.
He had been taken up to a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the devil tried to quote scriptures to him, and he had no revelation on it, finally, after all of this took place, and the Bible said Jesus returned into the power of the Spirit. Now, when he got full of the Holy Ghost, he took off, and he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And the Bible says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up for to read, and delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Well, he just got through experiencing that.
Amen.
Just got through experiencing that. So he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and have sent me to heal the broken heart. Well, see, this was, scripture was for the Messiah. So once they read, once the scripture would be read, then the people would know that God was with him, because that's what the word Emmanuel means. God is with you. God is with the people. God is with us. There's a different little, but anyway. So he read it, and he closed up the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and everybody looked at him. If I said, he fastened his eyes on him. And they began to say to them, one to another, hey, ain't this that carpenter's son? Ain't this Joseph boy? And ain't this that carpenter? What are you doing reading that? Then they said, all of them, they bear witness, wonderful at the gracious words which proceed out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son here? See, because that scripture was designed for the Messiah. They didn't know. They didn't have revelation there, but they knew what that scripture was for, and they know who it was for. Well, I'm about to get off the point. But the point is that he was flesh, because they identified him as being flesh. He went into the synagogue. So when the Bible says, and he was made, the word was made flesh. Because Joseph he was an honest man. He said, oh, that ain't my baby. She was already with child. The angel told him. So you had the angels telling the people. You had Joseph, which was an upright man. People well respected him. You had him telling people. And then the angels, then the people got up there and saw it for their own selves that the Messiah was with them, that Isaiah had become a reality. Isn't that what we read a few minutes ago? That Emmanuel? That was a sign. That was a sign. But anyway, it was the gracious words of our Lord. When the people heard him say that, they knew that that was the Messiah, because God had promised them this grace. And they saw God as being a gracious God. Over in 1 Peter, second chapter, second and third verse, St. Peter.
Yes, Pastor.
First Peter two.
First Peter three.
No, First Peter two.
Okay.
First Peter second chapter, second and third verse. Thank you.
As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen, amen.
Amen. In the Message Bible. Now, like incense at the breath, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. Amen.
So the Lord is gracious to all who have tasted his word. Did y'all catch that? You want some of the kind of grace we talk about? Taste the word of God. Get into the Word of God. Get born by the Word of God, and you'll begin to taste how gracious it is.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Isn't that awesome? I think that's what he just said. That's what we just read. Mm-hmm. The Lord is gracious to all, not to a few, but to all who have tasted his word. That's what Mary did. Mary looked back and saw the scripture, and the scripture said, a virgin shall be with child. Mary said, boy, that's me. I'm a virgin. And the angel told me, God, that's me. Be it unto me according to your words. She became part of that word. You became part of that word because you got born again by that word. See? That word got up in you. You believed it, and you conceived it.
Hallelujah.
Everybody ain't ready for this, but it's the truth. This is the way it has to go. You can't think it. You can't get enough degrees to get this. God's favor has to be on your life. So when God sees favor in you and you open your eyes, Satan don't like that. He don't like that. I'm going to tell you that right now. Some of y'all will be persecuted because God let you hear this. Because there's a lot of people still blind to God's truth. And God said, I want you so much like me that you got to get born again by my word, just like Jesus got born by the word, just like Mary got born by. See, everybody have to connect to the word of God. Because in the beginning was the word. Y'all catch that? In the beginning what? Was the word. Catch that? Huh? You see how frank that in the beginning was the word. So God has to connect us to him. How are we connected to him? It's through his word. God's word hadn't changed. It says in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, word was with God. Well, God ain't changed. I still believe he's the word. I don't know about you. He's still the word.
Amen.
According to Revelation, he's still the word.
Yeah.
According to Hebrew, he's a living word. So we got to stay connected to the word, not to a building, not to an organization, not to people, but to God, which is his word.
Yeah.
Mary didn't go up to the temple. You would think that Mary would go up to the temple and all this commercial and stuff y'all see. I mean, especially around Easter time or Christmas time, they find these little mangers and they bring them out and they want to put, I mean, all this so crazy stuff, man. No, God connect us directly to his word. That's what Mary said. Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word.
Amen.
I know you read that.
Amen. Yeah.
So, listen, brothers and sisters, that's the same thing for us. You want to get connected? Stay in that word. Get born by it. Abide in that word. Let that word live in you. See, you got to abide in the word, and the word has to abide in you. Because if you don't let that word abide in you, that seed can never catch root to your spirit. It'll always be in your head. It will never travel that 18 inches.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday, and I want to apologize, I might have said two fish and it was three fish, but I get so caught up from time to time, and things was in my mind, and I just said that, so I want to apologize. It's three fish, and I know it's another scripture says two, but I want to go with the three fish and five barley loaves. So that was from yesterday. But anyway, we're at that point now. Anybody have any comments, anything they want to share? Any enlightenment, you appreciate the word of God, just whatever. The doors are open.
Let's have that. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 from the New Living Translation. It says, like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment, now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And that's
thank
powerful.
You, Lord.
That's
yes,
powerful.
Amen.
That's powerful. See, in King James, when she read it out of King James, it wasn't that powerful as she reading it now. And when she read it out of Messenger Bible, it wasn't that powerful. But what version you just read that out of?
This is the New Living Translation.
That's a evangelist. Wait a minute, go back and read that to King James. That was 1 Peter 2:2-3.
1 Peter 2:2-3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen, amen.
Amen. Amen. Reading it again from the New Living Translation. Or did you want me to read it again, Pastor?
Yes, please.
Okay. Like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Amen.
Amen.
So what it is to desire, what do that mean?
To want.
Okay.
Then that you want, you really want it. Amen.
So don't leave me there now. Y'all take me somewhere with that. When you desire something, I mean, I want to hear you. When you desire, what does it mean? Somebody explain that. This is a very loaded scripture right here, brother and sister. I'm telling you, it's powerful.
You desire the milk of the word, to know the word and the Lord's graciousness.
Okay, I want everybody to have this desire. This is not no any kind of desire. A desire that something like you long for. Or you know how sometimes you get a craving for it. Or sometimes you wish for something. This is the kind okay. I think it was Evangelist William. She was telling me about in California, she go to this one pizza place or something, she told me. And when your mother come to see you, whoever, anyway, she desired so that she pay somebody to bring it or they bring it or whatever. But it's the kind of desire where if somebody you know can get it, you're willing to pay them to bring it to you. It's a desire. Okay. There's a thirst. There's a thirst. There's an urgency. There's like a yearning.
Yes.
I like to think about craving. When I think about desire, a strong, something real strong, well, that's the kind of desire you got to have for that word, man.
Appetite
for it. Do y'all know, like, every time Pastor, we read a scripture, she got such an appetite for the word, she want to read every version there. It will live up to her. She'll go, go through at least about eight of them. King James, God's Words, New Living, Internet. She'll you, because she want to get, see, you got to have a desire for the Word of God. So you want as much of it as you can get, man.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You got to have a taste for it. You know, that desire. And what you want to desire is that Word, the pure Word of God. Not no watered down stuff. Not no stuff Reverend want to give you.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to mess some folks up, but I'm going to mess you up. He says as a newborn babe. In other words, a newborn babe wants a titty. A breast.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Amen.
But
amen.
I'm correct.
Amen.
That baby wants a titty. You can call it a breast, mm-hmm. whatever. I think somebody might want to straighten me out. But I want to make it plain as I can. Make it as plain as I can. When a woman have a baby, that baby be sniffing. That baby be sniffing around that mama's breast.
Yes, amen.
Yeah,
amen.
That's true.
But it don't want
amen.
The breast. It wants the titty.
That milk.
Y'all pray for me. I want to make it as plain amen. As I can. Because when I was growing up, Evangelist William, women would nurse their babies and put that thing in their mouth, put that breath there, because it was real, it was pure. They wasn't gonna get no stuff out of no can, out of no bottle. You know, they wasn't getting that kind of stuff. They put that titty right in that baby's mouth. That baby was getting pure milk. So whatever was in that mother went in that baby. It's pure.
Amen.
Wasn't pasteurized.
Mm.
Think about it.
Amen.
You got it straight. Well, that's the way God wants us to get that word. That's the kind of desire. Because I was trying to explain that desire. And here's the desire that a baby has. When that baby get hungry, boy, it'll rip the mama clothes off. It'll scratch the mama. I ain't never had no baby, but I've seen enough of this stuff to tell you. I can tell y'all about it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that mother, for those that may not know this, that mother really a star leaking.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, that word, God wants us to have that word as much as we want that word. See, that's what I get out of that.
Yeah.
It's plain, brothers and sisters. God wants us to have that desire. But if you don't have that desire, you ain't going to get this. You ain't going to taste the glorious word. He said, now once you taste it, and I like to use that, taste in the King James, because I'm thinking, okay, you got to taste it, man. Taste that the Lord is gracious. What you taste the Word of God. For what it's going to do, see, when that baby nursing on that mother, I toned it down a little bit for all these little virgin ears we got running around here. These one is so proper. But a newborn babe do desire the sincere milk from their mother. But the Bible said we should desire that sheer milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You can't grow without the pure milk. If you do, hallelujah.
Amen.
You can have some other milk, brother and sister. Let me put that out there too. You don't have to have the breath. Because whatever you start feeding on, that's what you're going to be. That's why you got all these kids around here acting like they're acting. They've been sucking on the wrong breasts or nibbling or whatever. Y'all don't believe that, but I guarantee you it's scientifically possible.
Mm-hmm.
You got them drinking goat milk and you want them to act like a human.
All right.
No, preacher. Yeah, man, let's get to the nitty-gritty here. Let's get to the truth, the real truth here. People are just blind to it. They're blind to the real truth about God's word. They think they can read it. You can't just read the word of God. You have to study this stuff. 2 Timothy 3:15, you have to study this stuff. Can't just, I'll read it. I'm intellectually sound. I've been to college. I've got this degree. I got that degree. I can just read. You can't just read this stuff. It ain't designed for that. This is not a comic book.
Amen.
This is not one of them love stories. This is not one of those novels. Say, I can read and I can discern. No, that ain't what the Bible is. And if anybody told you that, they're in error. And then they don't know either. That's why they're blind to God's truth. Because they've been around here trying to read the book like a common book. Like you read something on the package or on the label. And because you can read, that means you got full understanding. Wrong. Beep, 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 wrong. You got to have a desire.
Yeah.
And no, I'm going to leave it there, but I'm about to get crunks here. And I'm gonna leave it right there because that desire.
Yeah. After this,
go ahead, Pat.
Reading the footnotes to that, the 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, the footnotes read, the development of a healthy appetite for the Word of God and the offering of a spiritual sacrifice. This verse employs the language of Psalms 34:8 to describe the experience of believers tasting, learning by experience. Matthew 16:28. The Lord's graciousness. Amen. Hebrews 2:9 and also 6:4. Amen. So that's the footnote to that. It says design a healthy appetite or development of a healthy appetite for the Word of God. And then
you said that was Hebrews. What? That was Hebrews. What?
Hebrews. Go back here. Hebrews 2:9.
Oh, okay.
And Hebrews 6:4. Let us know that the Lord's graciousness.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he may by the grace of God should taste death for every man.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't
that awesome? Amen. Yeah.
God had so much grace that Jesus was so full of this grace that he could taste death for every man. You ain't no matter who you are. Every man.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for looking into that. I thank Evangelist Benet for that heartfelt prayer. I thank God for y'all participation.
Amen.
And anybody have anything else? If not, y'all finna make me go study more now. That's what I'm finna do. I gotta go study more now. This grace is different, brothers and sisters. Trust me, it's not your ordinary grace. Something totally different than what we've been taught.
Yes. Yeah.
There is no limit. There is no comparison.
Thank you, Lord.
This grace can't even be duplicated.
Thank you, Lord.
So I thank you all so much. Now, we look forward to seeing you guys. Hey, on tomorrow,